Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm David Finkel, Artistic Director of Music at Menlo, and it gives me great pleasure to introduce you to the music you'll be hearing at the festival this summer. In previous seasons, Music at Menlo has presented the chamber music repertoire in a variety of contexts. We've explored the musical traditions of different regions, surveyed the legacies of composers from Bach, Mozart, and Beethoven to Mendelssohn, Dvorak, and Brahms, and examined music's ineffable effects on the listener. This summer, we will focus not on a composer or musical style, but on an instrument whose evolution in the hands of master makers and immortal composers constitutes one of music's richest stories, the violin.
Alongside Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven, Concert Program 2, the classical style spotlights the great Italian violinist Giovanni Battista Viotti, who played a seminal role in defining the instrument's tradition in England and France, as well as one of his musical heirs, Rudolf Kreutzer, the dedicatee of Beethoven's most finished violin sonata and a skilled composer in his own right. The technical prowess of these and others inspired the music of newfound resplendence from the day's finest composers in Haydn and Mozart. Beethoven's audacious creations, in turn, would challenge even Vienna's most skilled virtuosi, likewise elevating the instrumental tradition to new heights.
The proud Italian violin tradition, originating in the 17th century with Corelli, had its chief exemplar in the classical era in Giovanni Battista Viotti. Viotti's subsequent influence was broad, inheriting Corelli's art directly from his teacher, Gaetano Pugnani, who had studied with Corelli's pupil, Giovanni Battista Somis. Viotti, in turn, counted among his disciples the French masters Rodet and Bayeux. Thus regarded as the founder of the modern French violin school, Viotti moreover ranks as the instrument's preeminent voice before Paganini. Viotti's debut on March 17, 1782, at Paris's prestigious Concert Spirituel series, caused a sensation. He impressed as both virtuoso and composer, performing one of his own concerti, and immediately became one of Europe's most celebrated violinists. By popular demand, he appeared 12 more times at the Concert Spirituel over the following 10 weeks, and 16 times the following year, always as soloist in his own concerti. At the time of Viotti's Concert Spirituel debut, Parisian audiences had become accustomed to the thin, sweet tone of Amati violins. Viotti arrived with a muscular Stradivari, as well as a state-of-the-art bow, thicker, heavier, with broader hair, and played with more intense vibrato than listeners were used to. Contemporary accounts attest to the revelatory nature of Viotti's playing. "Viotti, it is true, astonishes the hearer," wrote a critic for the London Morning Chronicle. "But he does something infinitely better. He awakens emotion, gives a soul to sound, and leads the passions captive." As with all of the great composer violinists, Viotti's oeuvre centers on his instrument. He composed 29 violin concerti, and his solo and chamber music is likewise predominated by the violin. The duetto, dedicated to Viotti's close friend, the composer Luigi Cherubini, is not actually a duet, but a work for solo violin featuring two distinct intertwining lines, symbolizing, perhaps, Viotti's fond admiration of his colleague and friend. The work requires finger-twisting dexterity that belies its geniality, testifying both to Viotti's own technical facility and compositional vision.
Thank you.
Just as with the symphony and the string quartet genres, Joseph Haydn played an important role in the piano trio's rise to prominence in Western musical culture, leaving a catalog of no fewer than 45 piano trios. These works reflect the heightened awareness of the nuances of writing for particular instruments that helped define the classical idiom. At the time of Haydn's first piano trio, the combination of piano, violin, and cello had not yet become established as a standard chamber ensemble. Indeed, some of the earliest piano trios have been accurately described as keyboard sonatas with violin and cello accompaniment. But Haydn masterfully developed the piano trio into a sophisticated conversation among three voices. Consequently, the medium's popularity grew rapidly, with piano trio music becoming an essential part of any amateur musician's library by the end of the 18th century. Haydn's Piano Trio No. 27 in E-flat major is the third of a set of three dedicated to the pianist Teresa Janssen Bartolozzi, and the dexterity required by Haydn's keyboard writing testifies to Bartolozzi's skills. Equally so, the trio's deftly wrought musical content, built from simple ideas but utterly inspired in their development, reveals a composer of effortless imagination.
The trio presents its lighthearted opening theme in the old style, with the violin merely doubling the piano's right-hand melody and the cello reinforcing the bass. With the very next phrase, Haydn recalibrates the ensemble dynamic, weighting the piano against the strings. From here, the ensemble texture grows even richer, with each instrument subtly asserting its individual voice. When the opening theme reappears, notwithstanding its melodic simplicity, it has audibly come into its own. The violin moves to the foreground in an ensuing E-flat minor section, and as the movement proceeds, the passage work for all three instruments becomes increasingly ornate. Using only modest musical ideas, Haydn's restless imagination yields a veritable garden of musical delights. The trio's second movement, delicately marked Andantino ed Innocentemente, is a tender lullaby. The melody, initially presented by the piano alone, mezzo voce, is softly colored by heart-melting F double sharp appoggiaturas. Thank you. The violin thereafter assumes the melody, with the cello filling out the bass, three-dimensionalizing the piano's unassuming material. As in the first movement, Haydn's craft stealthily creates ravishing music, seemingly from nothing. The slow movement precedes attacca to the ebullient finale, which takes the form of an allemande, an instrumental dance form rooted in the Baroque period.
By 1784, Mozart, 2 years shy of his 30th birthday, was the toast of Vienna. The following 4 years would represent the most successful period of his career, marked by frequent concertizing and publication. No less an authority than Haydn proclaimed to Leopold Mozart in 1785, quote, "Before God and as an honest man, I tell you that your son is the greatest composer known to me, either in person or by name. He has taste and, what is more, the most profound knowledge of composition." End quote. Between 1784 and 1786, Mozart played the dual roles of artist and impresario to great success, composing with astonishing prolificacy and independently presenting concerts to unveil his latest creations, typically a symphony, a chamber work, perhaps a keyboard improvisation, and a piano concerto. Amid such celebrity status, Mozart's major project of 1787 was Don Giovanni, his second operatic collaboration with the librettist Lorenzo da Ponte, which would premiere in October in Prague. Yet such an undertaking did not preclude from such a fecund imagination as Mozart's an impressive flurry of instrumental works within the same year. Between March and August, Mozart completed the Rondo for piano in A minor, Kürtel 511, the string quintets in C major, Kürtel 515, and G minor, Kürtel 516, the sonata for piano four hands in C major, Kürtel 521, a musical joke, Kürtel 522, the serenade in G major, Eine kleine Nachtmusik, Kürtel 525, and the violin sonata in A major, Kürtel 526. Upon publication, the violin sonata in A major was billed, per convention, as a piano sonata with violin accompaniment, though even a cursory listen reveals this designation to be inaccurate. On the contrary, the A major sonata treats the two instruments as equal partners. Indeed, in terms of its sophistication as a piece of chamber music, the sonata is arguably Mozart's finest. The first movement lifts off with a giddy opening theme, whose joie de vivre is egged on by an eager hymiola urging the melody forward. Yet the music's rambunctiousness does nothing to obscure the hallmarks of Mozart's language, its melodic beauty, textural clarity, and formal elegance. Add to these the mirthful conversational quality between violin and piano, which permeates even the more gently flowing second theme. Thank you. The energy that closes the exposition continues into the ephemeral development section. Fragments of the primary thematic material buoy the music's passage through a restless sequence of harmonic modulations, powering the movement to an exuberant recapitulation. The andante imparts an even deeper sense of dialogue between the two instruments. The movement begins with quietly uttered octaves in the piano. The violin comments, slowly forming its own eloquent phrase. This opening exchange repeats, but, as if to affirm a mutual understanding, with the violin and the piano's right-hand melody trading places. Throughout the movement, the instrument's wordless dialogue bespeaks warmth and empathy. Here, Mozart seems to offer a platonic vision of civilized discourse, enlightenment to a degree unattainable in the practical world, but held fast in the idealized world of Mozart's musical imagination. This is music of unsparing beauty. Its disarming simplicity confirms Arthur Schnabel's famous remark that Mozart is too easy for children and too difficult for adults. The sonata's spirited rondo finale likewise attests to Schnabel's claim. Mozart exits the sublime realm of the andante and reverts, without regret, to the happy-go-lucky tenor of the opening movement. A bubbling moto perpetuo in the piano paces the violin's carefree melody. Though best known as the honoree of Beethoven's most daunting violin sonata, the French violinist Rodolphe Kreutzer was actually unaware of the work's dedication. Beethoven, who had met and heard Kreutzer in 1804, intended to dedicate his Opus 47 sonata to the English violinist George Bridgetower. After a falling out, Bridgetower apparently insulted a woman whom Beethoven fancied, the composer angrily withdrew the dedication and impulsively assigned it to Kreutzer instead. The Kreutzer sonata's convoluted genesis notwithstanding, the work's intimidating demands are enough to suggest Beethoven's regard for Kreutzer's instrumental mastery. The composer, moreover, praised Kreutzer, quote, "I prefer his modesty and natural behavior to all the exterior, without any interior, which is characteristic of most virtuosos," end quote. Kreutzer is a direct artistic heir to the violin's proudest lineage of great masters, stemming from Corelli, who taught Somis, who taught Pugnani, who taught Viotti. Viotti's student, Pierre Bayeux, was Kreutzer's teacher. Kreutzer directly encountered Viotti himself, hearing that master's solo performances in 1782 and 83, which influenced both his own playing and compositional approach to the instrument. More so than for his accomplishments as a performer, Kreutzer's legacy rests on his contributions as a teacher. Violinist and author Boris Schwartz notes that Kreutzer was, quote, "one of the architects of French violin supremacy in the 19th century," end quote. Kreutzer's 42 Etudes and Caprices for Solo Violin, composed in 1796, occupy a seminal place in the instrument's pedagogical literature. In addition to their instructional value, the Etudes contain their share of showmanship as well, as, for instance, in the fanciful flourishes that course through number 22 in B-flat major. Though intended for students, the Etudes likewise have value to even the most elite virtuosi. Joseph Joachim returned to them frequently. Wieniawski noted, quote, "these Etudes are much more difficult than most violinists assume," end quote. In 1800, Beethoven, approaching his 30th birthday, completed his six-string quartets, Opus 18. These would be the defining chamber works of his early years in Vienna, where he had settled in 1792. The Opus 18 quartets are moreover emblematic of, according to the popular schema of Beethoven's artistic life, the first of his three periods, during which, under the spell of Haydn and Mozart, he created music according to the style and taste defined by theirs. At the same time, in its dramatic scope and bold expressive aspirations, this early volume foreshadows what was to come in Beethoven's middle, so-called heroic period. The Razumovsky quartets, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th symphonies, the 4th piano concerto, the violin concerto, etc. Music that not only charted a new path for the composer, but pointed the way towards 19th century romanticism at large. The string quintet in C major, opus 29, composed in 1801, documents the transition between these respective aesthetic periods in Beethoven's output. The quintet's first two movements illustrate the Viennese classicism inherited from Haydn and Mozart, while the third and fourth movements look ahead to the romanticism augured by Beethoven's heroic music. As with Mozart's string quintets, the added viola here serves to expand Beethoven's sonic palette. The seemingly pedestrian first theme that opens the quintet, with first violin and cello chastely dancing stepwise around C, shrewdly allows for the ensemble's texture to make the prevailing impression. Second violin soon takes up the innocuous tune, accompanied by both violas with burbling 16th notes. The remainder of the Allegro Moderato's exposition is marked in turn by warm textures and contrapuntal play. The development section, in what would become Beethoven's signature fashion, takes what previously seemed such straightforward material and extrapolates from it soaring expressivity. The Quartet in F Major, Opus 18, Number 1, features a searing slow movement, poetically marked Adagio affettuoso ed appassionato. Beethoven indulges in similar poetry here. The quintet's second movement, marked Adagio molto espressivo, opens with a tender violin solo, uttered piano, mezza voce, and accompanied by a hazy reverie in the middle strings and gentle pizzicati in the cello. The scherzo, as a formal convention, something of a wild-eyed, romantic grandchild of the classical minuet, features a ubiquitous, leapfrogging three-note cell, present in 80 of the scherzo section's 88 measures. The central trio section further asserts, rather than contrasts, the scherzo's ebullient character. The quintet concludes with a playful presto finale. Beethoven shows some swagger in the movement's contrapuntal middle section, with material in 2-4 and 6-8 times superimposed onto each other. A lighthearted transition, marked Andante con moto e scherzoso, leads to a reprise of the movement's primary material. Audio Notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Carlo Farina's Capriccio Stravagante, performed by Monica Huggett and the Irish Baroque Orchestra, appears courtesy of Avi Records. Pietro Locatelli's Concerto in G Minor, Opus 3, No. 6, performed by Ensemble Violini Capricciosi, appears courtesy of Brilliant Classics. Giuseppe Tartini's Devil's Trill Sonata, performed by Nicola Benedetti and Christian Kernan, Vivaldi's Concerto in D Major for two violins, two cellos, strings, and continuo RV 564, performed by Catherine McIntosh, Monica Huggett, Anner Bilsma, Anthony Pleith, and the Academy of Ancient Music, conducted by Christopher Hogwood, and Haydn's Piano Trio in E-flat Major, Hoboken 1529, performed by the Beaux-Arts Trio, appear courtesy of Decca Classics. Corelli's Christmas Concerto, performed by the English Concert, conducted by Trevor Pinnock, appears courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Bach's Double Violin Concerto, performed by violin soloists Alexander Sutkovetsky and Daniel Hope, violinists Benny Kim, Don B. Bella Hristova, and Jessica Lee, violists Sin Yun Huang and Mark Holloway, cellists Keith Robinson and Daniel McDonough, theorbist Daniel Swenberg, and bassist Anthony Manzo, Mozart's Violin Sonata in A Major, performed by James Ennis and Gloria Chen, and Beethoven's Quintet in C Major, Opus 29, performed by Cho Liang Lin, Aretha Jula, Paul Neubauer, Daniel Phillips, and Fred Sherry, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Giovanni Battista Viotti's Duetto, performed by Ruggero Ricci, appears courtesy of Dynamic Records. Rudolf Kreutzer's Etude No. 22, performed by Elizabeth Wallfish, appears courtesy of CPO Records. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.